You gonna try again?
Well, if he did enough of this one, he probably won't. Sister Joyce, keep her in our prayers. We did hear from her this week, and she seems to be doing okay, but didn't get her on the phone as we normally do this morning. So just hope and pray everything is okay with her, and just remember her in your prayers. If you have your Bibles this morning and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read in your hearing from the 8th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And the account that's on my mind today is the one of Philip and the eunuch. And I pray the Lord would be with us as we look at this portion of Scripture. And I know we've looked at this in times past, and if you hang around a while, I'm sure we're going to look at it many times in the future. The Lord will bless us. But I want to follow, above everything, the leadership of the Lord and how He's directing us. And this is certainly on my mind this morning. So just pray the Lord would bless us to share with you the things that He would have for us today from this particular passage. And if that's the case, it'll be all right. And if it's not the case, well, there's nothing I can manufacture or replace His leadership and His direction with. So I'm dependent upon the Lord, and so are you. So continue to pray. I do appreciate the sweet and humble prayer that Brother London offered up by the grace of God, and thank the Lord for that as well. And I ask each of you just to pray as you're there on the bench. Beginning at verse 26 of the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we read this account. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." You read in the Acts of the Apostles, you read about the activities of the early church and how the gospel was spread throughout that part of the world through the preaching of the gospel and by the leadership of the Spirit of Almighty God. That same Spirit, I believe, is moving today in this world among the Lord's people. I don't believe we have to have some ulterior or some other means of directing ourselves in this world other than following the leadership of Almighty God in our lives. I don't believe we have to come in some group and make decisions or make up plans that would help the Lord get His work done. But I believe God called ministers that have been called and qualified by the Lord, are directed by the Spirit of God to go and preach the gospel, and that as they go preaching that gospel, there will be a people prepared of the Lord to hear that gospel, receive that gospel, believe that gospel, and that they'll walk in that so that the Lord will continue to have Himself a witness here in this world. And today, that's what I believe this little church is. We stand as a city set on a hill that can't be hid, as a light to the world, the light of the world, and as a salt of the earth as we meet together to declare Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And in that church, He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. In Matthew, He tells us this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe He's left His church here in this world. And that those local visible assemblies like Little Happy Creek is and Markham Church is and Union Church is, they have a responsibility in this world to declare this wonderful good news to God's little children that come inside their doors, as well as the membership has a responsibility to carry that good news with them as they go walk out in this world to share with others of God's little children that are really like little lost souls along the way. One place in the parables it speaks about going out into the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come in, which means we are to find and see God's little children all in the problems and troubles of this world. And you and I have a message for them. We have a truth for them. We have something that will benefit them in this world that they stand so much in need of. I want to ask you this morning, you that know the truth and know the Lord, and I say you know the Lord because He knew you first, and you love the Lord because He loved you first, and you found Him because He found you. You were lost and not looking for Him when He found you. But if you have a relationship with Him and a love for Him, and He's done something for you, what would you give in exchange for that? What would you give in exchange for having communication with Him in prayer? What would you give in exchange for being able to read the Bible and learn from the Bible how to live and how to walk and what's important and what's not important? What would you give today in exchange for the sweet memories that you have of the times that you've met, like we're meeting this morning today, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, to have the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified in purity and in simplicity preached to you and be able to hear that and to feed on that? What would you give? How has it changed your life? How has it affected the way that you live? How has it made you feel about not only how you live, but what about what happens when you die? I'll tell you, you and I need some good news in this world, don't we? I need to hear some good news. I turn on the television set, I don't hear any good news. I turn on the radio, I don't hear any good news. I look at all of the television stations that present the news in all kinds of ways, and you'd almost declare they're looking at a different world as you hear one station talk one way and another station talk another way, and one takes this side and one takes that side, and really you can't hardly discern what really any truth is. But when you open the pages of this book, you can trust that in what you're reading is truly the Word of God. And as a minister stands before you, as I'm making an effort to do, and by the grace of God preaches to you this truth, you can count on that truth. And listen, there's a message today that's been true, that is true today, and was true in the past, and will be ever true. Our God is in the heavens, and He's in control of this whole world. And He had a love for His people so much so that He worked out in a plan, a purpose, even before the foundation of the world, that every one of them would be with Him in heaven forever. And that if our lives were lived in pain and agony all the days of it, I pray that it's not, but if it was, one day of heaven would be worth it all. One day of being in the presence of the Lord would be worth it all. And that our joy and our peace and our rest is in part down here, but it's not just down here. One day, that which we have in part down here, and at the very best it'll be in part down here, will be in fullness over there because of what the Lord has done for you. That's why God's little children, when they know the Lord and believe in Him, aren't afraid to die. Doesn't mean they look forward to dying. Doesn't mean they're anxious to die. They've got enough flesh in them and enough of the nature of man in them. It's been put in us to keep us here that they want to stay as long as they can. But when it's the time for us to leave this old world for a little child of grace, when you really understand what Jesus has done for you, and you really understand how much love He has for you, and you really understand what God has prepared. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Listen, that promise, He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. And today, if you and I, by the grace of God, can embrace what Jesus did for us, you'll go away from this place today in peace. And the faith God has given you, by His grace, you can exercise that and you go believing. And you know, we're going to face problems in this world. Some of you have had sicknesses I didn't even know about that you've gone through this week. Some of you are facing problems right now in your homes and in your families and your personal lives. And sometimes your life seems to be so confused and such a mess, you kind of wonder, how am I going to get through this week or this day? How am I going to make it? I want to tell you, by the grace of God and the good news that's given us in God's Word, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have been made by the grace of God more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves you. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And He loved you so much that He chose you in covenant before the very foundation of the world. God, in His infinite wisdom, saw you in the mess that you were in the sin that you were in, and not only what we're in today, but what we would have been if God hadn't kept you out of a whole lot of that mess. Just think about it today. Where would you and I be had God not rescued us from the mess that we are? Not just in, that we are. Listen, we have a nature in us that's bent for backsliding. We have a nature in us that's prone to wander. The hymn writer said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart. Take it and seal it. I need the Lord to come where I am today and hold on to me. I need to be able to trust in Him and what He's done for me. And there's a lot of God's little children today in this world who are lost souls out there in this world who are wandering in this waste howling wilderness of a world, and they're hungry and they're faint and they're thirsty. And the Lord has sent unto them the wonderful message of the gospel. I'm not to get them to heaven. Listen, every one of His children will get to heaven. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that all God's children are going to get to heaven? There's not going to be one of them lost. There's not going to be one in the family that's missing. There's not going to be one that He doesn't reach. There's not one place His wind doesn't blow around this globe and out of every nation and out of every kindred and out of every tongue and out of every people. You read in Psalm 107 how He brought them from the east and from the west and from the north and the south, and He brought them to a place. Though they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, He gathered them, and eternally they'll all be gathered home. But I'll tell you, every one of God's little children who's going home to be with the Lord by the grace of God need to know about that in this world. And that's the duty and the responsibility of the church, and the duty and the calling of the ministry is to go and out into the highways and hedges and compel them, to persuade them, to teach them, to make disciples, to feed them, to share with them the truth and let them know how great things the Lord has done for them. Listen, there's a lot of people preaching in this world all the things you need to do for the Lord. And it doesn't take you long to hear that for a while and get bound up. And hear that for a while and rather than get better, get sicker. And hear that for a while and find out, oh, I failed and I've fallen short. I hope today you feel like you failed. Do you feel like a failure? Somebody said, well, that's a strange thing to hope people feel like a failure. I'll tell you what, until you see yourself as the failure that you are, you will continue to trust in your ability to reach up and hold on to God. Can I say to you today that you've never had the ability to reach up and hold on to God? You've never had the want to do it, or the will to do it, or the ability to do it. And the good news is that God, although we ought to be reaching and holding on, the God of heaven had the power to reach down, and He came where you were, and He met you where you with the needs that you had, and He knew exactly what they were, and in spite of all that you didn't deserve, He's dealt with you by His grace. And I want to preach that. I want to tell God's little children that. I want them to know what a Savior they have. I don't want them to trust in what they did when they walked down the church aisle, or what they did when they went into baptismal water, or what they did when they had communion. And all of those things are good and right. But I'll tell you, there's only one door to heaven, and it's not me and it's not you. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He's the one who's open. He is the way and the truth and the life. And that message needs to be declared. And this old eunuch needed to hear it, and God sent him a Philip to preach it. And that's what happened on this occasion. And God worked in the beginning of it. God worked in the end of it. And all of those wonderful things, we look at our lives and the experiences. We've had some experiences, haven't we? I've had some experiences with you dear people here. I've had some sweet times. I've had some difficult times. I've had times when I've been lifted up so much, I can remember some times in my family, just days and experiences where certain things happened that were the work of Almighty God. And I knew when it happened, that's God moving in our lives and in our homes and in our families. And I'll tell you, just it's wonderful to know that we have a God who works, and no man can let. And when He lets, no man can work. That's why when it comes to adding to the church, the preacher doesn't do it. The church doesn't do it. The Lord does it. And when He adds, it's done right. And as God's little children who've been added to His church, you and I need to walk and talk and act and behave. Not just be in the church, not just be in the membership of the church, but to be really in it, to where it becomes what we are and who we are and what we do. Not because the church is all that, it's because the one who is the head of the church is all that, because we love Jesus. And do we have any? Sometimes you say, well, I don't know whether I have any reason to love this one or any reason to love that one. First of all, when it comes down to loving, it's supposed to be unconditional love anyway. And just think about this. You have every reason to love the Lord. And He had absolutely no reason to love you, but He saw fit to. And He did that. And He tells us, as He has loved us, we're to love one another. I don't know what all this has to do with Acts chapter 8, but I'm sure glad I had it. And if I don't share any more than what I've said, I want you to know how sweet is the name of Jesus, who has loved us with an everlasting love, and none of you can be plucked out of His hand, because you're in the hand of His Father and in His hands, and there's none of you that will fall short of that belong to Him. And He chose you in covenant even before the foundation of the world. And I believe that's some of what Philip shared with the eunuch as he went along the way. It says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, I've never had an angel in the sense of this text, just like this, speak to me and tell me to go somewhere. But I've had the Lord move in my life. I have Him directing me and burdening me. I've felt that burden in my life. I have felt His direction. I have felt His leadership. I felt it in general at times where He, in general, led me to a place and I really didn't know why I was going and what it was all about. And yet God moved in my life. And I dare say that if you'll just open your eyes to the leadership of the Spirit, sometimes you wonder, I just happened to go over here and I just happened to be right there and I just happened to do this and I happened to do that and so and so happened to be there and this just happened to... Listen, don't get all that happening stuff out of your language and out of your communication. Every day God leads us. God leads us and leads us along in this old world. And you never know the importance of each and every day. You never know the importance of your statements and your communication to your children. You never know the importance of your statements and your communication to your fellow workers on the job. You never know the importance of it in your families and in your homes and in your life. But do know this, as a little child of God, every day there's a still small voice that God is using to speak to you and lead you. And as you follow that way and that path, He'll lead you by the still waters. He'll lead you by the green pastures. He will restore your soul. Isn't it good to know we have a Lord who not only began a work in us, but will perform it? How long? Until the day of Jesus Christ. And in this particular case, the angel of the Lord spake unto a minister of the gospel, and Philip was just that. We read over in the 7th chapter, I believe, about... or in the more in the 8th chapter, about Philip and his preaching, but here Philip was called of the Lord and he was told this. He said, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, that doesn't sound like a normal, ordinary kind of place for a preacher to be called and sent, does it? I mean, where am I going? Oh, you're going to the desert. Well, if Philip could have said, "Lord, why am I going to the desert? Why, you know, I'd rather be going over here. And I'd rather be going over there." And if a group of men set up a plan to say, "Okay, we want to spread the gospel," do you think anybody would have said, "I think a good place to send that gospel would be to the desert"? Do you think that would be their choice of men? Would that be men's ideas? Listen, brethren, we should never be operating on man's ideas. A minister ought to go to a church that God leads him to go to, and he ought to stay there as long as God leads him. And if God directs him to go somewhere else, he needs to get up and go. The amount of money that he gets should never be entering into the picture. It never should be part of the equation. The number of people that are there should never be the reason that he goes or the reason that he stays. It shouldn't enter into the equation. Because God sometimes moves men to go in some places where there's not just a whole crowd of people. He could lead them to that place, but he also leads them like he does right here. Aren't you glad God works individually and personally in the lives of his people? And that's exactly what he did to Philip. He said, "You go to the desert." And what's wonderful about this, it says he arose and went. God said, "Get up and go." He arose and went. Oh, I wish I could just tell all God's children, when the Lord tells you to get up and go, it's time to get up and go. It's time to, and you say, "Well, do what?" Well, whatever it is he would have you to do. If you're waiting for him to do it for you, he's not going to do it for you. But as he leads you and as he directs you and he says, "Get up and go," we ought to get up and go. And how do we go? We go trusting in the Lord. There is no direction here from the Word that says Philip was told who he was going to see. You know, I'd have kind of wanted, "Lord, okay, I'm going to the desert. Well, who am I going to see when I get there? What's my plan when I get there? How am I going to get there? And then how am I going to get back? You know, I'm going down to the desert, but Lord, how am I going to get back?" Do you know this? When the Lord leads you, he has the plan already laid out. And whether it's a minister going to preach the gospel or whether it's a little child of grace in his life or in her life, when you leave it in God's hands, doesn't it work out so much better than when you try to work it out yourself? As a matter of fact, working out yourself usually just causes you to worry. It makes your hair fall out. Got proof of that. And what doesn't fall out, well, it'll turn white. I got proof of that as well. And it just makes you old and weary. I'm telling you, we're living in a world where God is the author and the finisher. And if we look to Him, we'll find the rest and the peace and trusting in Him every single day. And Philip here was just told, "You get up and go." So he got up and he went. And he arose and went. That's a good passage right there. When God says, "Get up and go," go. And all wonderful things are about to happen to Philip. This preacher's about to get happy. You know what'll make a preacher happy? When he finds one little child of grace hungry. When he finds one of them inquiring. When he finds one little child of grace who wants to know more about Jesus. When he finds one little soul that's home that feels broken and lost and in need and in trouble, and he wants to know, when he sees God has already worked. See, the preacher doesn't come and make one that isn't a child of God a child of God. He finds one God's already quickened, and he then has something and a message to give that one about what the Lord has done. God is the one who makes alive, but the preacher is the one that God blesses to teach those who've been made alive. You could dip a man in water or a woman in water again and again and again. You'll never, the only thing you, it's like one old preacher said, well, if you go baptize a goat, all you get is a wet goat. Of course, he added a wet stinking goat. I don't know about all that, but I know what he's saying. I'm saying you can't baptize a man enough to give him true religion or give him life in Christ. As a matter of fact, unless the Lord has first made them alive, they're not a candidate for baptism. It takes birth first. And then it also takes, once they've been born of the Spirit of God, there's a belief that's needed so that they're able to believe. One of the qualifications before he baptized this man, he says, "If thou believest, thou mayest." I don't read any other qualification. Do you? Do you read any other things that he had to do this or that or some other thing? He said, "No, here's water. What doth hinder me?" And he says, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And that was something for him to believe. And what was that? That Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that He's the Son of God? I believe you do. I don't know why you'd be sitting here at a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what this is, where His name is declared and preached as the Son of God, who is verily God, who gave His life for His people, who fulfilled the will of the Father as He came as the Son of God and died on the cross, who did all that was necessary to purchase heaven for us. Why you would believe anything else other than that Jesus is the Son of God? And if you believe that, He says, if you believe, thou mayest. And that's a sweet, sweet privilege for one to take up their cross and go down into the water, which represents the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be immersed in water, which represents Him being buried in the grave. But He didn't stay under the water. I'm sure glad baptizing doesn't keep you under the water. You go down, but you don't stay very long. We don't put you down and keep you down. Somebody said, I'm really glad of that. And I am too. Because Jesus, when He went to the grave, didn't stay in the grave, did He? He came forth up out of the grave, victorious over the grave. And it's a picture of His death, burial, and resurrection. It's also a picture of the new birth and what the Lord has done in your life in bringing you from a dead state in sin to a state of life in Christ. And it's an answer of a good conscience towards God that shows your desire that I want to live for Him. I want to walk in a way to please Him. I want to walk with others who believe in Him. I want to be identified with His church. I want to live my life in a way to bring honor and glory to Him. And I know I don't deserve it. And I know without the grace of God, I'll never be able to do it properly and in any good way. And it's only by His strength and by His might that I can do it. But because of what He's commanded me to do, like He said, Philip, get up and go. Philip got up and went. Do you think Philip might have said, I don't even know where I'm going, but here I go. They remind me of yesterday as I traveled along to go down to Springfield. I got up that morning and tried to go to bed that night to get prepared physically to be able to take the trip. And in the middle of the night, I ended up waking up. You know how that is. And if you got a CPAP machine, you really know how that is. You just don't wake up and go back to sleep. You got to get this set up and back everything back on and all the gear and everything else in place. And I'm sitting there wanting to get sleep so I can go. So I'm trying to get sleep. And so I end up moving my alarm clock just a little bit. And I go and miss 2 hours of sleep. Now I tell you, that sounds like it doesn't sound like much until you miss it. And if you're going to be driving, that you need it. So I said, okay, maybe I shouldn't go. But then I felt a burden in my heart to go. And I knew that if I stayed, I could have stayed home. I'd have been whipped all morning. I was tired yesterday, but I'd have been a whole lot more tired had I stayed home. You know why? Because I don't know. I didn't even know as I went. I said, oh, what am I going to say when I get down here? Lord, what have I got to preach? And who am I going to see? I knew a place. I wasn't like Philip. Listen, Philip had the desert to go to. I had a place. I knew there were people there. And yet I wanted to be on time, but I started out late anyway. You know, and y'all don't know this, but I tend to be late every once in a while. Brother Bobby said amen to that, because I've never told him, never ever said I'm going to meet him at a certain time, and I didn't end up a little bit late. So I started out late, and then I got later. And every way I went through a little town called Union, and they had some kind of parade going on, and had a whole cavalry come by. A guy stopped me and said, you got to stop. The cavalry is coming through. I said, what? The cavalry? I'm back on a country road, and here I'm looking up. Here comes a whole line of horses. A wagon and everything else, and I'm already late. And you know how you're sitting there counting the minutes. I want to get there, and yet scared to death about getting there. Because I didn't know. I didn't know what. I said, Lord, I've been looking for a text. I've been praying you'd give me a text. But just, Lord, just help me get there. Because I said, I've already come this far. A couple times I thought I'd just turn around. I went through that devastation in West Virginia. I'll tell you, we have so much to be thankful for, brethren. And I thought about those dear people trying to rebuild their lives. There was a group of cars that they piled up 4 or 5 high that had been just washed away in that flood. And part of the road was washed away, which meant I had to sit for 15 minutes in a line of traffic until they cleared that path and let us through. I'm sitting here looking at the watch. Well, I got there late, but I got to hear 4 sermons. And I was happy. Because I thought, boy, I'm going to get down here, get to hear all this preaching, and get to go home. Because I got to be back at Happy Creek. And I've heard the preaching, and now I'm going to be able to go home. I thought that's the way it was going to be. But the brethren said, no, we're going to put you up first, right after lunch. I said, oh, me, what am I going to do? So I just prayed. And I said, God, help me. Oh, if I can just find one this morning, just one little hungry soul that's here today. Just one of you who need to hear the message of Jesus and be reminded of it again. Though you've heard it many times, that it'll be a little bit closer to you. A little bit more meaningful to you. That you'll really see Him when He died there on the cross. And you'll see the nails that went in His hands, that they were there for you. And the agony that He bore when the earth was dark for 3 hours, and the pain that was poured out on Him would have been my pain and your pain in hell. And if you'd understand that He did that so that one day you'll be with Him forever in heaven, and there won't be any problems or troubles or any more, anything to get or hinder. And while you're here in this world, He cares enough for you that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when your family gets in trouble, you get down on your knees and you pray to God. He'll open doors for you. He'll shut doors for you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. And every day you live believing in Him is worth living. And every day that you're not believing in Him, you're just fainting. And I'll tell you, one who faints is in trouble in this world. I believe this old eunuch was fainting. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship. I believe he was doing everything he knew to try to find peace with God. And he went under that old law service and he saw those things. And Sinai and its fury, no doubt, was right there in his face. And he heard the law and he saw how far short I'm falling from the law. And he found a wonderful little passage. I don't believe he just found it. Do you? Do you believe he just found Isaiah 53? Do you believe he just happened? Has the Lord ever just opened the book and given you a verse? Oh, how many times? I'll guarantee you, in this experience, in this congregation, there have been times the Lord's given you a verse right at the moment you needed it. There have been times the Lord's given you even maybe one of our hymns come back to your memory right at the time you needed it. When you were just about to give up or you're just in a mess. And here he was sitting in the chariot. Philip didn't even know who he was going to see, but there was this eunuch. And by the way, this eunuch was a man of authority. He was a man not only just of authority, but of great authority. And he was under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had a charge of all the treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. I'll tell you what, it's wonderful when you get to stand as a minister before those who are reading their Bibles, who are studying. I pray that you'll be studying your Bibles, that you come studying. And you know, you want your preacher to preach better, you study and you pray to God and ask the Lord to bless him. And every preacher, no matter who they are, especially me, needs to preach better. Y'all say amen. Why, we all need to preach better. And if you want them to preach better, you get in the Word of God and you begin to study and you begin to beg God, and He will either bless that brother to preach the gospel that you need to hear, or He will send someone to you to preach that gospel. The Lord will feed His little children as they're hungry. Do you think it was just chance that He happened to be reading Isaiah 53 that speaks so expressly of Jesus Christ? I want you to read Isaiah 53. Last week we gave you something to take home with you. This week I'll give you something as well. You read Isaiah 53 and you remember as you're reading it, it's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about the arm of the Lord. It's talking about the one who gave His life, who was bruised for our transgressions. It's talking about the one who died on the tree of the cross and paid the sin debt, and the chastisement of our peace was placed upon Him. It's talking about the one who was led as a sheep dumb before His shearers, and He opened not His mouth. Jesus didn't complain as He came to do the will of the Father. And no one could do what Jesus did but Jesus. There was no one found under heaven that could, or in earth, that could open the seals of the book, who could look therein, which means fulfill the will of the Father and carry out what God had purposed from the foundation of the world. Only Jesus was enabled to do that, and He did it, and He completed it. And Isaiah tells about it, and this eunuch is reading about it. He said he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Isn't it wonderful when the Spirit moves? The Spirit, I believe, of the Lord was leading me to get down there yesterday, and He blessed me to get there, and He blessed me to get home. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was tired. I didn't get to go eat last night with the brethren, and I missed that good time of fellowship because I needed to get home and get some sleep. And I'm thankful, but the Lord blessed me with a good night's sleep, and I thank the Lord for that. And then to have these thoughts this morning, he says, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. You get that? Philip didn't just say, okay, I'll get over there when it's... It was important. Listen, everything God's ever told you to do is important. Everything He's ever led you to do is important. Philip, when he was told to do this, he didn't just say, and I can see this chariot probably riding along. He said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read as he was going along. Here he is riding along in this chariot, and he's reading from the wonderful Old Testament book of Isaiah. It's written E-S-A-I-A-S, but it's really, when you get the Old Testament pronunciation, it's written as Isaiah. This is the book of Isaiah, and you'll see that throughout the New Testament. And he says, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And isn't that true? Sometimes you're reading the Bible and you go, I'm not getting it. I'm understanding it, but I'm not getting it. Can I say to you, it's still good to read? The book of Revelation, it says, blessed art thou that readest this book. And what's wonderful is that as you read it, there are times God will give you yourself some understanding of it and lighten you up. And then there are times God sends you a man, a minister of the gospel that He's called and qualified to enlighten you. And that's what we come to church for, that we might be enlightened about the things we have been reading and studying. And as God opens our eyes and our understanding to that, we are able to then understand things that we could not before. And oh, that's a wonderful and a beautiful experience. Isn't it wonderful to be able to sit in a congregation and sometimes the very passages you've been reading and studying, the brother goes into the stand and without you telling him, I'd like to hear about this and that. That's happened to me a lot of times where brethren have come and said, I was just reading that passage. I was just looking at that passage. You just hit the spot with me. And then there are some times where you said something and you went with it this way, but they understood it by Almighty God and they got fed. It's amazing how God can feed His children in so many ways when He opens up. And that's what preaching is supposed to be about. It's not about me sitting all week and setting down a 3-point outline and then bringing that to the pulpit and then sharing that with you. Now listen, should I be in the book all week? Yes, and so should you. We all ought to be reading. We all ought to be studying. And then when we come together, we're to trust the Lord. You pray that I'll go where the Lord leads me. And then as the Lord opens it up, then that's what happens. It's what happened in this case. Philip didn't go with the text in mind. Philip didn't say, well, I'm sorry, brother eunuch, I didn't study that, and so I'm going to come with this rather than what you have. No, he took the very text that Philip, that the eunuch was looking at, and from that text, he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. That's a happy preacher. You know, where the brother says, I need you to talk to me. I want to hear about this. Oh, what a wonderful day that was in the life of Philip and in the eunuch. It says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior who never complained about what God sent him to do? He came and he said, and he understood what he was. He said in one place, if it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Some would say that meant that he really didn't want to do what the Father sent him to do. But that's not what he said. What he said was to allow us to know what a major thing it was. What a great thing it was. What an overwhelming thing it was. What he was about to do was to take in his own body our sins. Our sins were literally taken off of us by Almighty God, and they were placed on his Son by Almighty God. And the Son of God took our sins and bore at Calvary the pain and the agony that would be the hours in an eternity of hell had he not done that, and he did that in full. And as one picked the hymn out the other night, we couldn't sing it, but the hymn is, "It is finished." He finished the work the Father gave him to do, and he redeemed his people from their sins, and their sins were removed from them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against them anymore. And he did it completely and fully. And that wonderful message is what Isaiah 53 is telling us. And it says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. What happened to Jesus in the judgment and the trial was an unjust action. There was no fault found in him, and yet they crucified him anyway. Pilate had to conclude, there's no fault in him. I find no fault in this man. You know why they found no fault in him? Because there wasn't any fault in him. There was nothing wrong with him. You could look at his life up and down all through it, and he'd never done anything contrary to the will of the Father. He had lived a perfect life. That's why he was the only Lamb of God that was fit to take away the sin of the world. Exactly what John the Baptist said he was. Because he was a perfect sacrifice, when he offered himself once to God, the Father accepted that sacrifice, and we are no longer, though we would have been condemned in ourselves, we're no longer under that condemnation because of Jesus and what he did in bearing our condemnation. His stripes took our wrath. By his stripes we are healed. He paid the price, and he paid it in full. And he says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He wanted to know, who is this talking about? Isn't it wonderful to be able to see and know, to really see Jesus? I said that earlier. That's what a baptism allows you to do, to really see Jesus. That's what preaching allows you to do, is to really see him. Not just hear about a historical figure, but hear about the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who is the wonderful Counselor, Everlasting God, Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as he preached that, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? We've been looking for some water for the baptizing, but and it really doesn't matter whether the water's over here, or whether it's over near Union Church, or whether it's in a... it doesn't matter. Here it was in the desert. I don't know what kind of water that would have looked like, but I can't imagine it'd be much, can you? Here's water, and it's not just any water. I believe it's water God had prepared, don't you? I believe it's water God had given. And it was a place that the Lord had prepared. And this eunuch had that burden in his heart. You know, I don't think he was so impressed with Philip that gave him that burden. I think he was impressed with the Jesus that Isaiah taught, and he said, oh, to be identified with him, to be a follower of him. I have a desire because I love him. I want to follow him. I want to live my life and lose my life in the service of Almighty God. Not that I can do or add anything, but I want to trust in him. And I want to live my life in that way because he's commanded that's what I should do. And he said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. Do you believe? He said, if you believe with all your heart, that's a qualification. If you believe in Jesus, if thou believest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They didn't wait a long time, did they? No. He said, okay, he believes, he desires it. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water. Get this, because here you see the proper mode of baptism. He didn't just go down and pick up a little cup and pour that on his head. They both went down into the water. And he says, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And that word simply means immersed. He immersed him. He, and that's where you get the picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord. And also the little child of God being raised in newness of life and designed to walk and follow after him. And it says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. You talking about a happy preacher? When the Spirit of the Lord caught him away, I don't think he had a care in this world. I don't think he had to worry. I don't think he was sitting there wondering, how am I going to get back home? I'm all the way down in this desert. I don't think he had any of those concerns because he was so happy in the Lord. You know, I've been in some meetings where I just kind of just totally lost myself. I just go like somebody said. I heard a preacher one time looking at another preacher. He said, that preacher's so spiritually minded, he's no earthly good. Because he had his mind so wrapped up in the things of God, he couldn't hardly get in and out the door. But he was happy. He was happy in the Lord. I'll tell you what, if you can be as this one was, caught away in the Spirit, it gets to the place sometimes you can't even talk. You just sometimes can weep and sometimes you can cry. Sometimes you can do both together, but you feel the presence of Almighty God. I'm telling you, if our meetings we don't feel the presence of Almighty God, then we're in a cold, dry spot. If it's just a lecture series and just someone talking about these things intellectually and just stirring up the mind, it ought to move the heart. It ought to cause you to just be so thankful that you had anything to do with this wonderful Savior. And when you can have that, that's a good thing. I hope you have it on your vacation as you travel down the road. I hope you feel caught away in the Spirit. I hope you go on your jobs this week and you get caught away in the Spirit. I hope in a sense you get so spiritually minded you're no earthly good. Because I tell you, this earth is not your home. You're just here for a little while. And if you get so wrapped up in it and so bound down to it, it'll burden you down. It'll break your heart. It'll make you weary. But if you get happy in the Lord and the sense of trusting Him and depending upon Him, you can face all. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. Listen, you'll be bombarded with it. But He'll as the meek inherit the earth, you do like little Sister Carol said in her email after she'd laid out about her daddy. And she said, this is what's going on. And you thought, oh my, how are they facing that? And she goes, but we are blessed. All of us are blessed. Hear that? All of us are blessed. How? The world would say, how are you blessed? How in the world are you blessed? I'll tell you, you can count those blessings in so many ways. You think about it. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but you think about it. Are you and I not blessed? And we know we are. And every day, He loads us with those blessings and those benefits. There are days we don't see it, but it doesn't mean He missed it. He does it. We just need to see it. And it's a preacher's duty to help you see it and to share that with you. Anyway, Philip, time is gone. Past gone. The eunuch saw him no more. I always like to think about this because sometimes folks get wrapped up into the preacher, and there is a great relationship that goes between the preacher and the brethren and the sisters. That's a wonderful thing, but I'll tell you, that's not what's most important. Philip got caught away and the eunuch didn't find him. And you don't find anywhere in the Scripture where the eunuch goes like, where's my preacher? Where did he go? He's just gone. You know what happened to the eunuch? The eunuch saw him no more, but what did he do? He went on his way. What doing what? He was rejoicing. He wasn't rejoicing in Philip. Philip's gone. He was rejoicing in the Lord. You know what about the Lord? He'll never leave you. The Lord can give you all kinds of preachers. He can even cause a rooster to teach you. He can use a donkey like He did with Balaam to give you the message. The Lord calls men and he will do that. You'll have many of those relationships. But I'll tell you, we have only one Lord, don't we? There's only one Jesus. And He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The eunuch saw Him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and a passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I'd love to heard him when you. That would have been a wonderful thing as he blessed to preach the wonderful truth. You know what's good though? The Lord is still blessing men to preach those wonderful truths. I heard four of them yesterday. Got to enjoy the sweet fellowship as well. And the Lord blesses us from time to time in this old world with just the right message. Just the right time. Even over the table, as I was sitting there with Brother Stan yesterday at lunch, he said things that meant so much to me as he shared even then. He wasn't in the pulpit preaching, but he was at the... Sometimes table preaching is better than pulpit preaching. Sometimes the conversation in the van on the way to the church is better than the preaching at the church. When the Lord's in the matter, it's a wonderful blessing to find His presence. I just pray the Lord will help us see that, not only today, but every day, that we'll see Him And we'll be blessed to see Jesus. And when you see Him, He's high and lifted up. And you know what it makes you do? It makes you want to fall at His feet. It doesn't get you cocky. It causes you to be humble. It brings you down. Not heady and high-minded, but humble. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and I appreciate your kind attention this morning.